To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's good? Welcome in and happy Tuesday, or as happy as you can be on this Tuesday, October 14th, 2025. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. In 2 hours at 4 o'clock, we will be giving away Caps tickets ahead of the Beltway Blitz right here on G&D. And in 3 hours at 5 o'clock, the rookie running back, Bill Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, will be on the show. We'll talk to him about heart-wrenching bad loss last night for the Commanders on Monday Night Football at the hands of the Chicago Bears. Danny's in our DC studios. I'm out in Milwaukee covering the NLCS. The roof is open right now at American Family Field. It's overcast, but it's pleasant in Milwaukee. Danny, I know it is anything but that back in the nation's capital today after really as painful a loss as the Commanders have suffered in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's gross. It's gross here, and it was gross last night, and watching that game was exasperating. What a blood-boiling, unforgivable, infuriating loss that was. And I think people are pointing to the bad plays, understandable. The Daniels interception, the fumble late in the game, Bill's fumble, of course, and those three things happened. Those are, to me, more one-off incidents and are frustrating and miserable when they happen, but I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be fumbling handoffs routinely. I don't think he's going to be turning it over and not seeing a defender and throwing an errant pass too late all that often. He was so good at taking care of the football last year and had been through his starts this year. There are sustainable, irritating, exasperating, inexplicable problems that aren't individual plays. The fact that they can't start games until the middle of the second quarter, bewildering, Ron Rivera-esque, inexcusable. Another lackluster, bored, complacent. We'll see what happens. Eventually, we'll start turning it on and trying to make a game of it. I mean, after being down double digits again, they outscored Chicago the rest of the way. But, you know, you dig yourself a hole, no margin for error. Errors happen, you end up losing. Tackling. I mean, we'll go through all the different bads. But, you know, that touchdown to DeAndre Swift after the play clock, by the way, was at zero for nearly a full second. Whatever. Just a multi-billion-dollar league. We'll figure that out, I guess, at some point. But you can't bother to push the guy out of bounds, and Marshawn Lattimore sort of jogging around aimlessly, not doing anything of impact on that play. A microcosm, man. What a frustrating loss that was last night.
Yeah, I was trying to think about the last time, if you're a fan of this team, that you were that mad after a loss. Because they've suffered losses where they got outclassed. Think about the NFC Championship game to the Eagles, and they lost 5 games last year to good teams. But a game that they just should have won. Danny, when you're watching the game and you go, you're probably better than the team you're playing, and with several minutes to go, the chances are, you know, analytically, that you're almost certainly going to win. The last time they lost a game like that, and I had to go back to the Jets game in 2023 when Greg Zuerlein kicked the field goal heard around the world that allowed them to pick second and get Jaden Daniels. I think that's the last time against a inferior team that they had a win in their hands and kind of fumbled it away, literally in this case, but figuratively, for the sake of the conversation. And I think that's what's so hard is you snatched a defeat out of the jaws of a victory last night. And that has not been what they do as part of this operation under Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. When you come out and you have a lead late in games, you put those games away. But you talked about it. There's a lot of different ways we could go today. Some major issues. We knew defensively they were going to give up a lot. I actually think, you know, you look at it, 25 points against the Bears coming off of a bye where they allowed 19 points effectively. Actually, three drives of 36 or fewer yards. So 16 points that were earned with drives beyond 36 yards. Their defense bent, but it didn't break. I think more often than not, while they have plenty of things to clean up, like, you can win with that performance. The three turnovers are the biggest story. But when are they going to start playing football in first quarters? You know, when is this offense going to go on an early game drive or come out with some energy and some emotion? Their slow starts, this is a full season of this now, Danny. They were lethargic against the Giants. They were down 14-0 against the Packers. They were playing the Raiders at home when Vegas was on a short week, and it was kind of a who's going to score first, nobody wants to. They had 10 points going into, you know, the halftime, basically, in that game. Then they're down 17-7 to the Falcons with 5 to go in the half. They were down 10-0 to the Chargers, L.A. moving the football last week. And then they spot the Bears 13. 10 points with 3 minutes to go or so in the third quarter last night before the big play to Luke McCaffrey. What is with these starts, and why can't they fix it?
I have no idea. If I knew, I would obviously prescribe it immediately or you know, give somebody a pill. But to me, it looks like a team that just is expecting things will happen, magic will happen, because it did last year. Last year, the seas opened up for them, and Jaden Daniels put his cape on against inferior opponents, and they crushed everybody. There's no magic. Like, there's a target on your back. There are expectations now. I understand losing a game on the road on a short week to Green Bay. You go back and forth with them, the way they were playing, that's going to happen. Atlanta, you know, that loss looks a little bit less terrible in retrospect now that they did what they did to the Bills last night. And that's an okay team coming off a weird aberration loss against Carolina. But Atlanta's fine. But again, being dominated for 80% of the game isn't okay. But those losses don't look as bad. It's when you're dealing with a team, and Chicago is aggressively mediocre. They gave you multiple first downs. They got a touchdown wiped off the board because the left tackle just wasn't standing in the right place. Nothing Washington did. Four different first downs via stupid penalty that had nothing to do with the play. And they're terrible. They wanted to give you the game just as much. They're so okay. And that's the level that you were at last night.
I don't even know if the tackle did anything wrong, to be clear, on that play.
I thought
it was a terrible call. But I'll take it. I'll take some of those along the way. You need a few of those as the year goes on. Toby actually texted me, and he used his Toki phone. He's got different phones.
Yeah,
game last night, he picked up the Toki hotline, and he said it's almost like, you know, guys never practicing affects how they start these games. And I said, ooh, that's good. I'm using that. But it's true. I mean, when you go – some of this is injury-related. I understand that. But a lot of it isn't. A lot of it is just taking care of guys. But they'll go through the week – and look at the injury report. This guy's not going for rest, and that guy's not going for rest. And it's part of trying to navigate a full season with 35-year-old Bobby Wagner and 34-year-old Zach Ertz, and, you know, the oldest roster in the NFL. But either practice matters or it doesn't. And I say that not to do some tough guy thing as much as to say, yeah, it stands to reason when you have a roster where you just can't grind like a young team might during the practice week, you might get off to some slow starts in games. I think that's reared its head. I'm ready to slam the gavel watching the Chiefs as the healthiest team in the league that takes camp in the preseason the most seriously of everyone in the league. They're one of the few teams in the entire NFL that still goes away and sleeps in dorms and, you know, has legit hard physical practices and occasionally tackles to the ground. And they got Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback of his era and maybe all time when it's all said and done. And he's playing in preseason games for a quarter at a time. And they're the only team in the league this week without anybody on their injury report. It's almost like it helps, right? But I think there's something to that with their practice weeks as well. But they have to fix that. There are things I'm not sure that they can fix, Danny. Like defensively, you and I will go round and around as a show, and so will everyone else in town, breaking down the chunks that they allowed, the big plays, the explosives they're on the wrong end of all season long. That's probably not going away. There's not a fix walking through that door. But you should be able to figure out as a staff how to alleviate these slow starts because they have absolutely killed them. I think you just said something important too. I think why I'm so upset today about this loss is mainly because it was self-inflicted. It felt like with the three turnovers and the kind of inexplicable and excruciating rain fumble at the end of the game by Jaden Daniels. But the Bears tried so hard to let you win this football game. I mean, how many times did you go, thank God it's Chicago?
Yeah.
If this was Kansas City at Arrowhead in a couple of weeks, or if this is Seattle after that, or Detroit after that, the brutal part of the schedule coming up, game's over. But it's the Bears. Whether it's – I just jotted a bunch of these down. I'm going to read through them rapid fire here and then tag you in. These are things that I would call, thank God it was the Bears. Dumb Montez Sweat roughing penalty negated a 3rd-and-8. Caleb Williams underthrows Roma Dunze wide open deep. Chicago has a completion called back for an OPI they didn't need to commit to set up a 2nd-and-20. They gave Washington 4 auto firsts with penalties. You talked about that. They have a face mask on a 3rd-and-6 before a punt or go decision in plus territory. Daniels' first fumble bounces right back to him. I guess that has nothing to do with the Bears, but that's lucky. Illegal formation takes a touchdown off the board. Caleb misses Zacchaeus on the sideline. Easy 10 to 15-yard play. Bad snap on 3rd-and-1 before the blocked field goal on what would have been probably a conversion. And then how about Alameda Zacchaeus dropping a ball where he might have gone for a 60-yard touchdown?
That was a touchdown.
Nobody around him.
That was a touchdown. I mean, it wasn't like it hit him some weird place. It wasn't like it went off his shoelaces. That hit him right square in between the breastplates. I mean,
do you think
he
scores on that play?
I do.
Because he's running across the field with Wagner. He'd leave him in his dust. I think maybe the safety makes the play, but it's a huge gain if the safety makes the tackle, which, go back to the 55-yarder in Sweat last night, is not a guarantee.
No, sir, it is not. DeAndre Swift doesn't do that. I want to be very clear. DeAndre Swift doesn't do what he just did. Came into this game with one game of over 3.1 yards per carry. Last night looked like Gale Sayers. The last time he went over 100 total yards was also against Washington. So this is the kind of thing that drives me insane. It's my Dillon G. All-Stars corollary. I understand when prime Hall of Fame superstar does prime Hall of Fame superstar stuff to you. He does it to everybody.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson gets you. You got God.
Yeah, you got. Ask Buffalo about that last night. Ask Buffalo what they think about that dude that nobody stops. When Saquon Barkley's going for $2,000, he goes for 110 against you. Yeah, all right, that's what he does. I understand that. It sucks, but I understand it. When a guy that doesn't do it, when a team that comes into this game as the worst run defense we have seen in the modern era, 6.1 yards per attempt, dominant 85 Bears, Mongo McMichael, Richard Dent, Mike Singletary.
Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera, but pretty much. Thank you very much for bringing it up. Move to the side. This group of Jags that cannot catch a cold is knocking dude stiff into the dirt. They were awesome against running backs. And then on the other side, they can't run the ball worth a lick against a good run defense. Washington's run defense is good. I have data that supports that. They, at one point, I don't think that's true now, but they were in the top three in rush defense DVOA in the entire NFL. Gone, mauled, mushed, pushed around. When it happens out of character, and they'll go back to normal, by the way. The Bears will go back to not being able to stop the run and not being able to run it, but it happens in prime time, and it happens last night because it matters to my team. Infuriating to me. Infuriating when that happens.
Yeah, the Commanders find themselves now 17th against the run in yards per play at 4.2 a pop after it's gotten a little leakier. My fear after the Dietrich Wise injury as an edge-setting presence and a physical player on the outside was that they'd struggle with some outside stuff, and boy, has it happened. I mean, Bijan Robinson, again, that was going to be the case, but the Chargers did some pretty good things on the ground against Washington, and then yesterday the Bears had whatever they wanted, but you're right. I mean, we're kind of just now building a cake of anger and just throwing ingredients in at this point of like, and you know what else annoyed me about last night? But it was all of the things that went against type from the season. The Bears come in not being able to run, and then they go for 145, including non-Caleb Williams, 23 attempts for 147 yards. They come in not being able to stop the run, as Danny said. Washington, worst run game offensively that we've seen them have so far this year. They were not terrible. They were okay. But non-Jaden Daniels division, because he saved their bacon, it was a 21-attempt, 72-yard game where they averaged a little over three and a half. This was like last year's run game with Brian Robinson.
And it wasn't anything designed, and Daniels kept it a couple times, and they sniffed those out. They had those pretty well scouted. It was his scrambles on miraculous, awesome plays that saved their bacon. When they handed it off, it wasn't good. It was less than 4 yards a pop.
Daniels was special. in the decisions he made as a scrambler last night, and he really did legitimately give them a chance. I understand that they lost the game on his fumble and that he turned the ball over two times. And so on the net ledger, not all plays are created equal. And the bad interception, which was really bad,
it was
in the red zone when Debo's wide open in the end zone, Ertz is underneath wide open, and the read should probably go to the back out of the backfield there based on, you know, the cover three they were running and how they were doing things. That play is worth a few really good ones. The fumble at the end is probably worth five really good plays. Like, not all plays are created equal. But I think, you know, you look at PFF's grading today, it's a really clean sheet for him as a passer in terms of the decision-making, the accuracy. I thought it was another step forward. But overall, he made the play at the end so many times to win last year. Early this year, generally, you put the ball in his hands, you count on him to win you a game, and with the ball in his hands, they lost this particular game. Very, very rare. I mean, that's now the balance sheet is like 10 good, one bad in that area, but this was the bad one. And I will say, I know fans don't always care about this. Some of you might. I certainly do. The way he handled his post-game presser last night was so awesome. I love this guy as a person. He is almost as good or maybe better than he is as a player. And I'm talking about him handling the media at the microphone. He is the opposite of some of the diva young quarterbacks that you will occasionally see, where he blamed himself for the loss, probably not even completely true, and said, I lost us the game. Basically had the opportunity. Someone said, what about the weather? It was a slick football. You fumbled two times today. He goes, I'm not going to sit here and blame the weather. I get paid to not worry about the weather. God, I love that dude. Like, what an awesome answer that was from him, and I just want to give him credit for that. But, yeah, you're playing a team that can't run it, and they run it. They can't stop the run, and they stop the run. You never turn the ball over three times all year. You turn it over three times. Matt Gay hadn't missed a kick in almost a month. He misses a big kick last night. And the result is your worst loss since Week 12 against Dallas, and probably the most maddening game you should have won that you lost since 2023.
Yeah, I you know, listen, those individual moments that we're talking about, the turnovers, are discussion worthy. We will discuss them. I don't – that to me is not part of a larger trend, right? Like, I'm not worried about Jaden Daniels all of a sudden becoming a turnover machine. I don't think he's going to – next time he goes to scramble, he's just going to drop the ball and have it bounce back up to him like he did last night. Like, I don't
totally, but you agree it could still be the reason why they lost. Last
of course,
night.
Of course,
different conversation.
Of course,
right?
But here's the point I want to make. They can't tackle. That's sustainable. They're going to give up big chunks all the time unless the offensive line that they're playing against is garbage and terrible. They can't really get home all that often. They don't harass enough. The slow starts. These things that have happened. They got no takeaways again. Like, the things that have plagued them and are the issues were also the issues last night. Yeah, and you're still in a position to win the game against a Chicago team that's, you know, just very mid, very okay, you know, an 8-9 kind of team that is looking to give it away to you in their own right with all their penalties and stupid mistakes and the like. And, yeah, some things didn't go your way in terms of those one-off turnovers and bad moments. Those, again, should be discussed. To me, it's alarm bells that they can't force turnovers at all. Like, at all. They've got 3 through 6 games. Like, That's hallmark of worst defense in the NFL type stuff. I'm not saying that's what they are, but that's the company you're in. A group that creates
no pressure. Well,
they
dropped multiple interceptions.
Yep.
Frankie Louvo on the 4th-and-1 had a ball hit him in the chest, didn't catch it. And Mikey Sanristil would have had a goal line interception on the second straight game. Remember that was it a third down play, I think it was, before a field goal. He has a ball that hits him right in the chest, basically, and it goes through his hands, and he can't catch it. I think PFF had 3 turnover-worthy plays for Caleb Williams. I'll be honest, I don't remember the third one. But I can think of 2 dropped picks that could easily have been takeaways. And you see around the league more than ever the punch fumbles. I mean, how many times now, Danny, that you're watching a game? I used to be Peanut Tillman did it and nobody else. Now every player in the league is punching the ball out, it seems like, every time someone's got a football. Washington didn't go to that class. You know, they didn't have that one on their schedule in third block to go to punch the ball out to force a fumble class. But it's time to maybe put that one on the itinerary, because you're right. Again, there's only 2 games where they've gotten takeaways out of 6 this season, one of the lowest totals defensively in the NFL, and it was a problem for major stretches last year as well. All right, next, let's do game balls to the best, gassers to the worst. Who are you going to single out? Positively, negatively, or what about this game will you single out as far as the best and the worst from a bad loss and a painful loss to the Bears? And also, it is Tuesday after Monday Night Football. So we've got Commander Survivor. We'll tee that up next on Grant and Danny live on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're down and one. Ball's on the ground. And it's recovered by Nashawn Wright.
I'm not going to sit up here and blame it on the elements. I mean, at the end of the day, I got to focus. I get paid to go out there and focus playing the play out. And I had a lack of focus right there, and it cost us the game.
That's what a pro sounds like. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Jaden Daniels, two turnovers last night, masking what was an otherwise pretty sharp performance. 211 yards, three touchdowns. Luke McCaffrey has scored in three of his last four games for Washington, a 33-yard catch and run on a beautiful design from Cliff Kingsbury. Also, Chris Moore, who started out great, three grabs, 46 yards. He had 46 of 54 receiving yards at one point for Washington. And then Zach Ertz also caught a touchdown last night. Moore did drop a pass on like a third and two, set up a fourth and two that they converted. But overall, at least out of the shoot last night, he gave them a bunch. Jalen Lane made a 37-yard catch, another touchdown for McCaffrey. So the others in the receiving room, with Debo having a down game, I thought handled themselves fairly well.
What'd you think of Debo? Looked to me like he wasn't himself, and that heel may have been more impactful than certainly I thought.
Seemed that way. I thought the Bears had a really good plan, and I thought defensively they basically said, Debo's not beating us, so we're going to account for him. Even on the touchdown, to Luke McCaffrey as an example, they had two guys basically attracting like magnets to him so that if they caught a screen, he was getting buried immediately. And I think Cliff saw that and said, all right, well, if they're going to do that, let's zig when they zag. And they dialed up a play to basically use him as a decoy. His one run, as an example, was negative yards. They played it well. So I think there was a little bit of both. He certainly wasn't as explosive. But you know what really stands out when you watch last night? And this is a Terry thing. I've said for a couple weeks, I don't know how much they've missed him. Would the results have been different? They had zero speed on offense last
Nothing.
Night, really.
No yards after the catch. Everything was catch and fall. You know, maybe break something for a foot or two. But, yeah, Chicago had room to run, and they didn't.
Nothing vertical, nothing that stresses the defense down the field. I actually would have used Jalen Lane more in that regard. I don't know. I'd have to go back and see how much they actually had him running deeper routes, like love of the game stuff, to open things up underneath just to take the lid off. But he had the one big explosive, the 37-yarder. But he's the one guy with some speed. He ran a great double move route to get open there. Not to knock Luke, because he's been very sharp in his role. That's not really his game. I know he caught a 50-yarder where he had a guy draped around him last week. But without McLaurin, who is that? That's not what Debo's here to do. He's not running behind people and in man coverage, like beating guys. So that's where you miss McLaurin. And Chris Moore is a big body, physical, a lot like a Noah Brown. But those are not down-the-field vertical receivers. So sans McLaurin, that has shown up in a big way, I think, in this offense.
Definitely has. You know, Chris Moore, nice touchdown catch. That was a really nice play. That drop, it gets lost in the sauce because McNichols made a nice play afterwards on a natural pick route there. But it's the dropping. The dropping of the football. It's not like a new thing either. This is like a pretty consistent training camp, preseason, regular season, sort of the story. If you throw it to him, great. That's like a 20% chance he's swatting it to the ground like Rod Gardner.
It's why he originally didn't make the roster, frankly. I mean, he had a really good camp when he caught the football, but that's not how it works.
Right.
You know, when you don't always catch it, that's a problem. It is Tuesday, so before we get to Game Balls and Gassers the day after a game, we're going to do a rare double dip with Game Balls and Gassers and Commander's Survivor. You're going to vote at facebook.com/Grant and Danny. And unfortunately, you've probably got a plethora of options today in terms of who you're going to vote off the island. You're also going to give a player who shined immunity. So you're kicking somebody off of Commander Survivor Island. You're giving one player a safety pass through next week. Go vote facebook.com/Grant and Danny. As we get deeper into the show today, we'll give you our votes for Commander Survivor. We'll announce who gets immunity, who's getting sent home in our final segment after 6 o'clock. We're taking you up to 6:30. You'll hear Dan Quinn's press conference late in the show between 6 and 6:30 today on The Fan as well. Danny, let's get to Game Balls for the best, Gassers to the worst. You get us started.
Gasser, please. Joe Witt, we got plenty to get to here today, but at some point a team playing against you is going to probably run one of those crossing routes. You know the one, whenever they need yards, one guy's going to start on one side of the field, just sort of gently jog casually three-quarter speed across the pitch, find an open space and get huge yards after the catch. You haven't figured out a way to cover it. Whenever somebody needs yards, especially on a second and long, third and long, they're going to that to change field position and potentially go score. It's infuriating. Please do something else.
Gasser. Jacory Kroski-Merritt. Bill will be on the show today at 5. I love him. He's one of my favorite players on the team. He's outstanding. I think he's their most dangerous running back with the ball in his hand since early career Clinton Portis. And yet, two straight games he has fumbled. I'm not talking about the fumble that wasn't his fault when Jaden lost a wet ball and kind of threw it into his stomach. I'm talking about earlier in the game when Bill had a ball in the backfield punched out of his grasp. And twice in two quarters, including the first quarter last night, the fourth quarter against the Chargers, he's put a ball on the ground. Allowed this to become something where they're worried. He still got of 19 carries by running backs last night. They've given him the ball to play after his fumble. Both times it happened. So I don't think they're overly concerned. Neither am I in terms of this being a thing going forward. But it still happened last night, and it was a big problem. So got to hold on to the football. The ball is life, as they say, Danny.
Marshawn Lattimore. I know Quan Martin is the guy that missed the tackle most primarily, but your almost 1 second of sprinting, sort of weird jogging over towards the play, watching it happen with the worst angle I've ever seen, and then stunned that DeAndre Swift broke out of the tackle. No rallying, no sprinting, no effort really at all to try to do anything to prevent that touchdown on that play. Make them make more plays, for God's sakes. And then you had to kind of rev it up again, and Swift was already gone, ran by you like you were a statue. What is it you'd say you do here? That was such an awful play.
I'll go game ball. Hey, you had to find that one. You didn't know we were going to give out any game balls today, did you, Dad? I liked what I saw from Dorrance Armstrong fighting through a hamstring injury. He only got a half sack, not a full sack. Split it with Von Miller, I think it was. But to be hurt, to be ruled out as questionable, I guess, not ruled out, but listed as questionable and a chance of being ruled out, and then to come back into the game, have a couple of rushes where you're getting the quarterback out of the pocket, get home on one of them. I just like the year he's having. He's up to basically 6 sacks now through 6 games, right around 9 sacks in his last 9 going back to the playoffs last year. He keeps putting up numbers.
The NFL's net worth is approximately $228 billion. $228 billion dollars when you take in all the different team valuations, the property of the league, the brand, etc. For a league where hundreds of millions change hands every week, the fate and fortunes of so many are riding upon every single play, you're still doing the, well, I didn't see the clock hit zero and the snap went off. I guess it's fine. Incredible to me, the amount of technology we have, auto reviews, first down, not a first down. We know within a microsecond, due to this thing, we can figure this out. We can fix that, fix this, fix the other thing. We modified the kickoffs because we got this data. We got these microchips. We got these sports bras that the dudes wear. Tell you how far they ran, the miles per hour, et cetera, et cetera. The ball was not snapped when the play clock was at zero. That's not why the touchdown scored. That's because Quan Martin can't bleep and tackle. But it's still at zero, and it's like a whoopsie-daisy, the mechanics of the referee. Wrong, stupid, insult to our intelligence. Fix it immediately.
You thought that it was a stale zero and it should have been a delay of game, or you're saying as soon as it gets to zero, the technology buzzer should be used to say it's a delay of game?
I'm saying it's zero. Almost to a full second of that play clock at zero, the ball was not snapped. And even still to this day, it's the back judge looks at the clock and then like slowly casts his gaze down. Oops, the ball's snapping. And he gives everyone the benefit of the doubt. Wrong. The play clock, there's so many seconds to get a snap off. And if you can't do it, it's delay of game. That play never should have counted. Again, please make a tackle. That's not why they lost. They lost because Quan Martin couldn't tackle and Marshawn Lattimore is useless. But that was a zero play that didn't happen.
Yeah, still zero is not for me. Like, I'm with you. We have enough technology that as soon as it hits zero, the shot clock isn't zero and then a half second or whatever, and you have to get the shot off.
Yeah, it's not the
it was zero, but he has the extra second until the whistle blows. No. It's just if the ball's in your hand at zero, it's over, and that's pretty much what should happen for football, I think. One more gasser, please, for me. Dan Quinn, the lack of early game success to me comes back to readiness, energy. It's not all on him. I'm throwing that onto the pile here. But here's why I'm actually giving him the gasser. What was that challenge of a one-yard completion on a first and 10? I don't understand that challenge at all. Now, the only thing more annoying than that challenge are the people that say now it was a good thing because it turned into like a fourth and one, and they got the stop on fourth and one. So people are saying, based on not having gotten the 1 yard on first down, that it would have been a first down, which is not how the world works. It's not like, okay, now on second down, the exact same play happens, and on third down or whatever. But on top of that, let's say it does work that way, and that 1 yard is what saved them on that possession. It still is a bad process that led to a fortuitous result. The process, you get two of these challenges. If he challenges later in the game and doesn't get it, you're now out of challenges because you used one challenge on a one-yard play on a first and 10. Someone says, well, maybe he was trying to save clock because 40 seconds is going to go off the clock. You have timeouts for that if you want to use those
and
timeouts.
And they called one, by the way.
Subsequently.
They called one right after that, for the record. A classic squandering.
Well, but No. That's a different thing. You're right. They did call a timeout because they weren't ready somehow after like six game minutes, life minutes. So with the game in break, that was insane, and I've never seen anything that made less sense. But I'm talking about like someone's like saying you might want to use that challenge because you're saving game time at the end of the half or whatever. But it's not like they were in a mode after that where they were burning timeouts to get the ball back. So that wasn't what they were thinking. I have no idea why they challenged that. So, again, yes, it was a fourth and one, and they didn't convert. Does not change anything for me. I mean, can you explain that? A first and 10, one-yard play that they challenged. In a world where you get two of these, and if a bang-bang play doesn't go your way later in the game, you're out of challenges for the rest of the game. What am I missing?
I think they thought they had that one pretty definitively, but enough weird crap has happened where I've seen inexplicable things get
through. There's no chance you don't get it. I'm saying it's a layup. It's still 1 yard. You've saved yourself 1 yard, and the next challenge might not be. The next challenge might be, we got to throw this here. And if you, it's not like you get a second one. It's like if you don't win them both, to my knowledge, you don't get a third one. If you use two and you go one for one, one and one, you don't get a third one, I don't think. So my point is, like, there is no logic. It's a yard, man.
Very little upside.
It's not third and 10. It's second and nine or second and 10. Like, what are you doing?
So I care way more about the use of the timeout after an enormous delay while they're doing a review. That to me is the like, we don't really have our act together thing. And the number of times where they, whether they haven't been able to get a play in, second half timeout usage where they never have them in close games when they desperately need them because they always squander one early in the third quarter. Like, that's the kind of stuff that drives me up the wall because it's all manageable. It's all process. And it's the thing you're supposed to be really good at when you're not calling plays. And that's what Dan Quinn's supposed to be doing.
A yard on first and 10. A yard. I just don't get it. But regardless, not why they won or lost, and in this case, lost the game. 25-24, Bears over the Commanders. Washington, and this is not what good teams do, I will acknowledge, but they are doing the boy-girl bit here. Win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. So I guess that's good news going to Dallas this coming week. I actually want to talk about this Cowboys game, which feels about as big as George Marison at this point. We'll get to that next. Grant and Danny, live on The Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Feeling now after losing a game that way with the turnovers, obviously you guys know you can't do that.
You win and lose, obviously as a competitor you hate losing, but we got a short week, so you dwell on this forever however long, and we on to Dallas.
That's Jaden Daniels. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. About an hour and 10 minutes from now, somebody's winning a pair of tickets to go see the Capitals at Capital One Arena, an upcoming home game. And then at 5 o'clock, we've got Bill Jacory Krosky Merritt on the show to talk about last night's game with the Bears, a tough 1-point loss for Washington. By the way, the Caps play tonight right here on 106.7 The Fan. I just heard that Pierre-Luc Dubois is not going to be on the ice for the Capitals this evening, it sounds like. So they'll be reshuffling the top lines as they look to win three in a row. They had a productive road trip over the weekend in the Metro. Back-to-back wins, 4 points. Those are good ones. Those are keepers when you're knocking teams around in your own division. Those are worth four.
So you'd love we'll to see that. Yeah, haven't been lighting the lamp a ton early season, but it's, you know, three games in, who knows, as teams kind of settle in at this point. But that was the Charlie Lindgren game, as far as I'm concerned, the other night against the Rangers.
Shut out with a ridiculous save on Zibanejad in that game for the Rangers. So, yeah, they'll look to continue to keep pucks out of the net, play good, clean defense, and get that offense going as they look for a third straight win. But speaking of wins, let's talk this Cowboys game on Sunday. So, look down the pipe a little bit. The pike, I guess, is what I'm looking for. Look down the barrel of this schedule for a moment with me. You're 3-3 through six. You've got to go 9-2 to equal last year's 12-5 record. Who cares? You're not doing that. You're not getting to 12-5. That was never really the goal or the expectation. It's just getting into the playoffs and ideally trying to win the division. And it may not take 12 games, frankly, to win the East, the way the Eagles are playing with Dallas, with the Giants being as flawed as they are with their early season records. But, Danny, after this Dallas game, I got a three-game stretch pre the Madrid trip against the Dolphins in Kansas City, home against Seattle, home against Detroit. Those are three of the top 10 teams in football. You could convince me they're three of the top five or seven teams in football back to back to back. Like, if you went 2-1 in that stretch, it is a standing ovation, let's all hug it out, high five Jim Harbaugh style, find someone to give a kiss on the cheek to kind of deal. You're probably likely just hoping to get to 1-2 in that stretch. And I say that to tell you, my God, do they need to beat Dallas? I mean, if they're 3-4 going into Kansas City, Seattle, Detroit, they're in really, really big trouble.
Well, here's my little, I don't know if it's hot yet, but the burner's on. They're in trouble now. They're 1-3 in the NFC. And if I'm doing my little mathematics, right, where I go, okay, look at the NFC West. There are three teams over there. They're all over 500. The NFC North probably got a couple teams. They get Detroit. They think Minnesota's going to be okay. Green Bay, we know, is pretty good. We saw that firsthand. You start doing the math. Somebody is going to be in that 9-8 or 10-7 range. You're the last of those teams in that range right now because you've lost three NFC games. That is a huge deal to me. And two of those three games, you already mentioned, against good teams, Seattle, Detroit, are in the thick of this playoff situation that you're competing directly against, and you're already behind the eight ball. If you lose to Dallas, my rudimentary math tells me you'd be 1-4 in the NFC. You are already trying to in a mudslide, trying to climb uphill. Because of whom you've lost to at this point.
Yeah, it's completely true. I mean, they have started the season by building a really bad wild card resume and a really poor tiebreaker resume in the NFC. The good news is, so far, they've held serve and they have a very good tiebreaker division resume. But that only matters if you're in the running for the NFC East.
That's right.
We could get to a point, depending on Philadelphia, where that becomes more manageable than the conference and a wild card. But I think we both agree the Eagles are going to be playing better as this season goes along, and they're probably not as bad as it feels like they are right now. All right, next on Grant and Danny. What was the bigger reason for last night's loss? Three turnovers or the defensive performance giving the Bears and Ben Johnson way too much as he went for 381 and Chicago got a one-point win? You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.